and his elections. And the year when Putin became to power, Ben Lazar, he made Ben Lazar the chief rabbi in Russia, basically. And it is quite difficult what links has Ben Lazar, but definitely he is one of the behind person. And it's interesting point, he said in one of his interview that he is Putin's rabbi.
That's right.
Putin's rabbi, and Putin, he's positioning himself as a Orthodox Christian.
That's right.
That's the giveaway.
See, that's the giveaway here. And you can also hear about a man, a rabbi named Pincus Goldschmidt. And Pincus Goldschmidt was invited by Putin to come in and an associate of what they call the Gaidamek. The Gaidamek? Do you know the Gaidamek?
I have the surname, yes.
The Gaidamek of Gaidamek, and what we've got, of course, you were right, Beryl Lazar, and you see, I have turned this up by just doing some surface research, and then I look deeper into it. What the world doesn't know, because no one reports it, is that this has been going on for some time. In fact, since 1917, Russia has not been independent of these forces, and the United States has been bought up since after the Civil War. So mm-hmm. both countries are actually in the hands of these people, under the control of the international banking cartel, which of course, you know, everyone seems to think. When I talked to you, I remember saying to you on a private call, I said, you know, the oligarchs. Somebody said to me in an email, the oligarchs were kicked out of Russia by Putin, so he can't be friends with the Zionists. And I said, wait a minute. Most of those oligarchs stole billions and walked out of the country with all their money.
Mm-hmm.
If I get kicked out of a country with $14 billion, I'd say, okay, see you later. No big problem for me. But the fact is, most of those oligarchs are still welcome in Russia, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Only a few of them have... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the same idea of creating a conflict, creating these two fighting parties, basically, to make people busy, to believe, oh, this is a conflict, he's fighting Jews, but in reality, they're not, this is just a pure setup.
That's right. And how can we get people to understand this? Iskander, you know, the fact is, unless we're able to explain this in a simplified form, because people can't put their heads around complex issues for some reason. I don't know if it's because they're poisoning our water with fluoride or because people are too busy watching football on television. I don't know the reason, but the fact is most people don't want to look into things anymore. They want a simplified explanation of everything, and I'm trying my best to simplify this so people can understand it. Are there other things that point to the facts as we've seen them here? I mean, I know resource companies that have been going into Russia to exploit the timber, the wood, the gold mining, the oil. All of them are backed by companies such as Harry Oppenheimer in South Africa. People like, of course, Mr. Rothschild's firms are in there in a large mass doing joint ventures. Companies like ExxonMobil, BP Amoco. In other words, these forces that we're talking about in the West are actually in Russia in very large numbers, exploiting large amounts of natural resources. Are they not?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Russia became integrated in the resources because they contain a great amount of natural resources like oil and metals and gas, and obviously they trying to use Russia in this sense. And it is quite interesting point that according to one sources that Putin, he is one of the richest men on the world, and Russia has enormous amount of money, but the general population, for example, if you take teacher in the school, his salary is about $200 per month. That's explained quite a lot.
Yes, and but then again, you know, we've got the treasury of Russia filling up with large amounts of money. Now, here's an interesting thing: they allowed, after the fall of the Soviet Union in 1989, they allowed public social problems to erupt. Now, here's one of the telling points. The Russians didn't have terrible drug problems in 89. They had a, here and there, they had some problems with heroin from Afghanistan, but the major problem, social problem in Russia was alcohol.
No, yes, now, indeed.
Yes, now after 89, instead of tackling the social problem of alcohol, what did Yeltsin do? He reduced the price of vodka. Now, instead of making vodka more difficult to acquire, he in fact lowered the price of it, causing much more serious social problems. We saw that the lifespan of a man drop all the way to 46 years of age in the 90s. Now, of course, that has been reversed, but the only reason it's been reversed is so many men have died from the social sicknesses that they were participating in. So my point is this: what people have to understand is that these governments that we're discussing right now have not got the best interest of their public in their minds. Am I correct?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes. And for example, Russian Orthodox Church, they are selling alcohol and a tobacco and then don't pay tax. They receive this license from the government. They're selling alcohol and tobacco, Russian Orthodox Church, and don't paying tax. And they've got incredible, enormous amount of income from that horrible stuff, basically. And quite a lot, really a lot, Russian population are alcoholics, basically. I could talk about children who is 9, 10 years old, they're drinking, they're sniffing the glue, and the problem with drugs is really enormous in Russia, and that started from Perestroika in 1985.
That's
before,
right.
Just a few people knew what the heroin is, or the cocaine is, and now it is incredibly popular in youth culture.
Yeah, like the
so
West.
Alcohol and drugs are just basically destroying the Russian population.
Well, but and then you have to understand that the money coming from heroin sales is going into the hands of these same Zionist criminals, because they run the Afghanistan heroin trade, and they also get the cocaine out of South America.
Mm-hmm.
So they're feeding off the sickness of the Russian population in the same way as they are from the inner cities in the United States, where drugs are readily available and people are falling victim to that in the United States. The point being is that what we basically are is a harvest for these people. They're harvesting human sickness and profiting from it, Islanda. This is something that I can't imagine. The Orthodox Church in Russia is not complaining about the Jewish influence. So it
oh no, not
me,
at all. That's another bizarre thing, because before revolution in 1917, the Russian Orthodox Church telling that there was a prediction by the Russian saints, yeah, that's what happened, that the Jews will gain power in Russia, and they will destroy basically everything. They received this information from the in the visions, basically, in spiritual visions, yeah, and that's exactly what's happened, basically. What I told you early, that the presidents and Russian other government members, they're positioning themselves that they're Christians, basically. On the other hand, they openly participated in the ritual, Jewish ritual practices.
Well, now, I'm going to go on to some other things. We know about white slavery of women, and I remember in the 1990s a large number of Russian women were finding their way into prostitution rings. And you also saw the same kind of activity from the Serbian region, from the Balkans. And we also see child pornography and other things being run out of the Eastern Bloc countries, and as well as Ukraine and other areas. These people are also involved in these kinds of sicknesses as well. Do you have any information on that?
What I knew that the market for pornography in Russia, it's enormous, and it is the I couldn't this incredible sickness, what is going on there. It's a lot of perverts there. And one of the information what I've got about Ben Lazar, that when he came from United States, he had a problem in the United States with the police about the pedophilia and child pornography.
Yes.
That's the other alarming aspect of his activity in Moscow. And I don't have much exactly information about the people involved in government in such affairs, but, you know, that's information is enough to think what is going on if Ben Lazar had problems with the American police, with the child pornography and pedophilia.
And he's still prominent in leadership role in the Zionist Jewish community of Russia.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, Ben Lazar, yeah, he's chief Russian rabbi.
How about Lev Leveny from Israel, also working with Mr. Putin, the richest man in Israel?
Leveny?
Yeah, Lev mm-hmm. Leveny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't make this stuff up. You know, it's astonishing. I do need to ask my engineer if mm-hmm. we can take a 2-minute break at this time. Mm-hmm. I've got to take a moment for myself here and rush back to everybody if that's possible. Can I get Bashir to hold the line for a moment?
This is CII.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for that moment. I've been sitting at my desk here drinking lots of tea, and, you know, that's what happens when you drink lots of tea. Ishlanda, I'm so sorry I had to run away and take a moment for myself, but, you know, we're back here. Look, I want to bring up a couple of more points before we finish this this discussion here. And I see that the world's economies are in very bad condition. I see the Middle East on the verge of a staged conflict. I see the Israeli component posturing about Iran, and I see the Americans saying they're going to support Iran, and I see the Syrians saying we've got this and that. And I'm even reading in many of the alternative press places that, oh, it's, you know, Putin is going to save the Iranians and this and that. So much lying, so much nonsense, but I have to tell you, I fear we are on the verge of a terrible period of catastrophes all over the place, and I'm wondering if you see the same problems, and what is your opinion on these on what I just said to you?
Well, you're meaning that the world is facing the major financial crisis.
Well, it's not just a financial crisis, but it looks like they're trying to set up a staged war in the Middle East to make everybody, you know, it looks like they're trying to get World War III going to me.
Well, my point of view, to be honest, is religious. As a Muslim, I saw this as a conflict before appearing what in an Islamic tradition called Michel Dajjal, or in a Christian Antichrist. So the whole conflict or the whole world problems. The whole point is they preparing the world to receive Michel Dajjal, the false messiah, basically. But if we're talking just on the political aspects of what is going on, I suppose that the media try to frighten the population on the one hand and try to establish the fear in the fear. On the other hand, they're bombarding the population with the fun, with the comedy, with the horror films, with the alcohol, with the music, with the drugs. They try to hypnotize the whole population with fear and with idea of fun, idea of entertainment. That's one. That's the main tools and the main mechanic of the control. That's my opinion. That's what I see in the contemporary.
Well, how many people, in your view, are aware or becoming aware? Now, I mentioned to you privately when we were talking early on when I was starting my battle against these people, Zionism on the internet. If you put it in a Google search engine, there was only 1,700 examples when you typed in Zionism. Today, there's almost 8 million. My point is this. The world is waking up to what Zionism is about, which it is a criminal doctrine run by criminal human beings trying to destroy the rest of us. But more and more people are aware of it. Do you see an awakening happening around the world of the facts that we've been discussing?
Oh, definitely, yes. But I think it is not enough. I think what we need, we have to penetrate the media. We have to penetrate the all type of the information sources to deliver this message. I think we have used the music, we have used any type of the media sources to deliver this message. That's incredibly important in the contemporary situation.
Well,
so I would say I would advise any people who got links to the media, they have to think about how to put this information, how to make people aware what is going on in reality.
Well, you're exactly right, and this has been my battle from the beginning, and of course, South African regulators don't want me telling this story, and of course, you can understand why, because this really threatens their whole criminal operation. However, it is so important that people understand I'm not against Jews, I'm against criminals.
Oh, yes,
of course. There's a big difference between a Jewish person and a criminal. What I've discovered over time is the Jewish community that go to work every day and sit at a desk or they support this criminal gang because they have been lied to like everyone else. They're believing the propaganda that's put on TV. What I'm hoping to do is to inform the Jews about Zionism so that the Jewish people themselves can turn on their own leadership. Because if the Jews themselves turn on this leadership, we have a chance to defeat them. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, this is very important. That's the key, I think, key aspect in this battle. Because quite a lot of Jews, they've been brainwashed by the idea of a Holocaust, by the idea of pogroms, and the reality of such things happened, and this is the Zionists use it as a tool to brainwash their own people. To feel their victim, they have to unite over Israel, basically. So,
right.
But on the other hand, there are more and more Jewish people who became aware of what is going on. For example, many years ago, one of the Jews who told me, who opened, I would say, my eyes on the reality of Zionism, on the reality of Israel. And it is, I would say, thank you for this.
Yes, well, it's, you know, my most powerful ally in this fight has been a man named Benjamin Friedman. He did a talk in 1960 about what was going on, and were it not for this gentleman, who actually left the Jewish religion and became a Christian because of what he saw his own community doing, but he told the truth about this, and this man was present during the signing of the Versailles Treaty in World War I. He saw these people actually committing the crimes, and he told on them. And this kind of bravery coming from people like Friedman, like your friend, like so many others, this is going to be the key to taking these people out, to stopping them. Because if they lose their own home support, if they lose the support of their own community, they cannot any longer function the way they have been. It will take away their whole power base, in my view.
What I believe, the other things, that the persecution of the Jewish people during the Second World War was organized by Zionists, and
that's right.
And they trying to to clean, this is purely my opinion, they try to clean the Jewish race from the just normal people, basically.
And well, they wanted to get rid of their opposition, Iskander. They wanted to, see, not everybody in World War II wanted to leave Germany and go to Palestine. And
oh, so yes, people, indeed, yes.
Well, the ones that didn't want to go, they ended up working in IB Farben factories building bombs.
Right.
They worked in work camps, or they were sent in holding camps, because they were the opposition to Zionists, and they had to be done away with. You understand my point?
Oh, yes, of course. In other words, thinking about, I didn't receive any information about this. It was my intuition. Yeah, that's the persecution of the Jewish people during the Second World War was organized by Zionists. And the second goal is to create the atmosphere of fear, to create the atmosphere that the Jewish people have to go to Israel, basically, to occupied land of Palestine.
Well, we know today the group, the country that is committing apartheid at a level unseen in the world in generations, if not ever, is Israel itself. Of course, you know, if you go to Israel, you immediately are aware of the fact that there is a hierarchy of control there, and that if you are not Jewish in that country, you are less than nothing. And that's how they feel about the Palestinians. These people on their own land have been turned into to cattle in the eyes of the Zionists. And this is a terrible state of affairs. And, you know, to bring this kind of subject up during Ramadan, I want to bring up this final point here before we end our interview. It's Ramadan is a period of peace as far as my understanding of Islam goes. But peace, at not at all costs, peace is something that must be earned. You can't, peace is not automatic in this world. There are evil, criminal people in our world. And if you want peace on this earth, you have to be able to put your effort into stopping evil. So what we need to do, I think, for people celebrating Ramadan this month, this period, they need to take an active role in informing other people about the crimes of this group, so that we can begin informing the rest of humanity about these criminals. And Ramadan's a good period to do that, I believe, because people are coming together and speaking with each other during their celebrations in the evening. And I think it should be taken advantage of by every person celebrating to tell others about these facts. How do you feel about that?
Yes, I think that's right. You're right. And peace in Islam doesn't mean not to act. I like one of the saying by the Muslim poet Jalaluddin Rumi about jihad, about the holy war. I try to find it, and I don't remember by heart. But anyway, the idea is that it is important to take the spear from the mad people. And the spear, the only way to take the spear from the mad people is through the holy war. It's through the doing something. It's through the fighting the evil. So that's the very important part of the Muslim faith, to struggle. And if you see the evil, you have to stop them with your hands or with your word. So this is important part of the Muslim religion, obviously.
Well, I have advocated doing it with words, because if we were to do anything other than words, they would use that as an excuse to stop us from telling this story. You see, this message needs to go farther out into society, and immediately when violence erupts, it's going to be a complete crushing of this message. So what I've tried to do is to tell people who are following my message to let's do this peacefully if we are at all possible to do. We must spread this word and not advocate violence, because violence will get us attacked physically. Now, we may be physically attacked anyway because of what we're doing. However, it is still my responsibility to try and stop the violence and continue the education process, because I think the only hope we have to defeat the evil is through education. And that requires people to turn away from football, to turn away from the things you described earlier, you know, all of these diversions, these nightclubs and the rest of it, and start paying attention to the world around them and start listening to the facts as they've been discovered, so that we can unite together. You see, I am not from the Muslim faith, but I am somebody who has come before everybody to try and unite people. This is about bringing people of goodwill together in the world, from all groups, from all walks of life, so we can all together turn on these criminal, evil people and stop them. And I it's possible. I believe, remember what I said to you yesterday, Iskander, I said to you, all good ideas started with one person.
Well, yes, yes.
We are far bigger than just one person today, and we are growing in numbers, and we must continue the growth of this message worldwide. And that is my hope. That truly is. Do you have a last statement you'd like to make to the listeners?
The last message in this program is you have to think, you have to avoid at any cost the contemporary culture, which is infiltrating your minds, infiltrating your heart, and stay with Allah and study the way of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and trust in Allah. And learn through the history of Islam, the relations and between the Muslim and the world, and particularly Jewish people, and to use your heart in all relations, and use your mind and spread the word of wisdom and spread the word of knowledge, what is going on, if you possess this wisdom and if you possess this knowledge.
Well, I'm very grateful to you, my friend Iskander, and Alexander to me in our conversations. It's been a wonderful 1 hour discussion we've had today, and you've enlightened me in many ways. I told you not to share a lot of that information you had with me before the show, so I would be as surprised as the listeners, and I have been. It was everything I thought it would be. Look, ladies and gentlemen, the French Connection does not get paid to do this. I have been doing this as a benevol, as a free of charge. I have always been, I've never been paid to do this work. It's because I care about the human family, and I want to share my hopes for the future with everyone in South Africa, Pan Africa, Europe, and America. And I have financial needs to keep this message going. If any of you have a generosity that you would like to help me to keep this message going, please find a way to do that, because it is so important that I keep going, and it's so important that everyone who is learning about this can continue to learn from the French Connection and IamTheWitness.com. Until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling each and every one of you to be well and have a great holiday period for all of you in the Islamic faith. And for the rest of you, be well. Bye-bye now.
Contact Rapid now on 08-